the week of September 16th, 2004. With only 7 members out of the 19 required, the City of Philadelphia's Police Advisory Commission has ceased to exist. The commission, which investigated allegations of police brutality, has been completely shut down, the result of over 5 years of no new appointments from the mayor's office. The mayor of Philadelphia has received many letters from the commission stating that it requires new appointees, but the mayor prefers to associate himself with the more costly Safe Streets program and other crime-fighting measures, despite his past support of the commission. In October 2003, City Council sent a list of 17 candidates for the positions to the mayor's office, but despite his statements that appointments will be made very soon, no appointments have been made. The commission is still accepting complaints from citizens, but will no longer hold any hearings into the matters. A third Winter Haven, Florida police officer is facing dismissal from his force after accusations resulting from an internal investigation of the department. 2 other officers were recently fired for misconduct resulting from separate investigations. Off-duty officer Paul Galloway arrested Sheila Mercer for drug possession based on evidence that was discovered to have been planted by the officer's mother-in-law. Investigators believe that the mother-in-law used Galloway to get back at someone who she had a personal grudge against. According to the investigation report, Galloway conducted an unauthorized 3-hour stakeout of Mercer's workplace and then called for a police dog using his cell phone rather than his police radio. Criminal charges against Mercer were dropped, but Officer Galloway was suspended without pay and now faces dismissal from the force and possible criminal charges. On October 30, 2003, police mistakenly raided the home of the Tweed family in Oakland, California. The Berkeley Special Enforcement Unit stormed into the Tweed home and forced everyone to the ground at gunpoint. They then proceeded to handcuff the 2 older men in the house, one of whom was only 14 years old and understandably distressed. Then they strip-searched some of the occupants of the home. The police were evidently searching for drugs and a convicted cocaine dealer named James Colby, who was found sometime later at the house next door. An investigation of the incident has shown other errors of this type made by the same police unit. In findings released last month, a hearing panel sustained 7 out of 22 allegations against Detective Jack Friedman and other officers involved, including failure to properly investigate, improper search, unnecessary display of weapons, failure to provide medical assistance, improper detention, abuse of discretion, and damage to property. Last week, a separate investigation accused the same group of officers, including Friedman, of misconduct in a different drug investigation. In North Carolina, the State Bureau of Investigation is continuing to investigate the possible misconduct of 3 officers in Mount Olive. Officers John Enhert, David Johnson, and Freddie Southerland are accused of taking money from Latino drivers stopped during routine traffic checks. During the investigation, an undercover officer was pulled over by one of the officers and extorted to the tune of $300. The force had previously received numerous complaints about the 3 officers. No charges against the officers have been laid yet. A former Ionia, Michigan County Sheriff's deputy has been sent to jail. Brandon Bayless was sentenced to 1 year in jail and 2 years of probation last week for sexually assaulting at least 4 women while on duty. Bayless was accused of having sex with women while he was in uniform, both in the back of his police cruiser and at a local town hall. The officer was originally charged with 15 felony counts, including misconduct and felonious use of a firearm, along with sexual assault. The sentence is a result of a plea agreement. Bayless cannot work as a police officer or a teacher ever again. A former undercover drug agent is having his perjury trial moved from Tulia, Texas, to another venue. The officer conducted an 18-month investigation that led to the 1999 arrests of 46 people, 39 of whom were black. The incident led to accusations of racism and misconduct. Almost all of the arrestees were eventually pardoned and became the recipients of a $6 million civil suit settlement. At an evidentiary hearing last year, Officer Coleman, who is the officer in question, contradicted statements he had made earlier and was then charged by prosecutors with 3 counts of perjury. Police files have revealed that at least half a dozen Eugene, Oregon police officers knew of complaints made against fellow officer Roger Magna years before he was charged for his offenses. The files show that at least five officers heard complaints about Magna that ranged from rape to stalking. Magna was sentenced to 94 years in prison for abusing 15 women between 1977 and 1993. Officers who heard the original complaints either dismissed or ignored them. Currently, six women are suing the city. A woman has settled her $1 million lawsuit against the Casper, Wyoming police out of court. In her lawsuit, the woman claims that she was permanently disabled by the officers when she tried to speak with her three teenage children and her niece as they were being arrested. She claims that officers Sean Jenkins and Steve Schlager threw her to the ground and pushed her face into the dirt and pavement after she was handcuffed. She says that one of the officers put his knee into her back against her shoulder blades and pulled her arms up as far as they would go. Afterwards, the woman was taken to hospital where it was determined that she had suffered from a broken and dislocated elbow and other injuries. The woman was charged with interfering with police, but the charge was eventually dismissed. The terms of the lawsuit settlement were not disclosed. A man severely bitten by a police dog in Mountain View, California, is threatening to sue the city for racial profiling and police brutality. The man was stopped by police and handcuffed because police thought that he had assaulted his girlfriend. The police dog apparently leapt out of the car and attacked without being ordered to, sending the man to hospital for stitches to treat his wounds. He can no longer perform his job and has no insurance with which to pay his hospital bills. Hialeah, Florida police have arrested one of their own officers for beating a customer at a local restaurant. George Louis Castillo, a three-year veteran of the force, has been charged with one felony count of aggravated battery and two felony counts of official misconduct. Castillo was off duty and working at the restaurant when he confronted a man who was drinking a soda at the bar. Minutes later, the officer kicked the man in the stomach and then again in the head before arresting him and having him charged with disorderly intoxication and resisting arrest with violence. All of the charges against the victim, who suffered a brain hemorrhage in the incident, were later dropped. And a police officer from South Bend, Indiana, was suspended with pay this week after he allegedly used excessive force against one of the two men he arrested in an incident over the weekend. Police videotape showed Corporal Jess Elliott treating arrestees inappropriately. This is not Elliott's first time in trouble for using excessive force. An investigation is still underway in a May incident in which Elliott broke a woman's arm. In October of 2002, Elliott was accused of using excessive force against an off-duty officer from nearby Columbus, Indiana.
She had been stopped by the police, who wrongfully accused her of prostitution. Although it was obvious that she was returning from grocery shopping, she was carrying her grocery bags in her hands. This type of incident with the police took place on two occasions with her. She is a mother of an adult autistic son, and she was wrongfully arrested at the center where her son resides. Although she made a complaint to the Police Ethics Commission, with which she had submitted two medical reports, the commission decided not to investigate this case of police brutality.
Whether it's men working in the police or women, I don't see much difference. I think they all become one.
We need to be sure and keep a good, close watch on police powers, especially on how closely tied police powers become with the military and federal police groups.
They walk into his home very heavily armed and kill this young man.
Police coming out in uniform, but with badge numbers and name tags covered up, and basically forcing people to leave the streets using batons and pepper spray. It's a pattern of abuse that just needs to be stopped as soon as we can stop it. The more militarized the police get, the more rights you've got thrown out the window.
The fact that it was on November 11th, 1987, that there was a particular incident in which a black person was killed by a Montreal police officer, a young black guy aged 19 years old, whose name is Anthony Griffin. He was shot on November 87, just in the actual parking lot of Station 15 in NDG in Montreal. It started with a cab fare that was not paid by him, and the cab driver called the police. And once police officers were there, the cab driver didn't want to press charges, but still, Alan Gossett, a police officer of the Montreal Police Department, decided to check on Anthony Griffin. And while he didn't handcuff him, he did bring him at the police station. And at the police station, in the parking lot, according to Alan Gossett's testimony, he didn't remember, in fact, doesn't remember pulling the trigger. But still, he shot Anthony Griffin in the forehead, who died from the bullet. 2 days later, it was found that the police officer, Alan Gossett, was involved in a prior incident in 81 in which there was a racial prejudice. And that's the element that sparked the outcry, as much as a report from a journalist stating police sources alleging that Alan Gossett would have said to her partner, "I'll show you how we arrest a nigger and don't run," and even though like this statement was later deemed be untrue or unfounded, there was a massive outcry after the incident. There were demonstrations and big criticisms from the community. Dépanneur, a corner store, and he took a little bit of food and he was arrested by a police officer of the Montreal Police Department who did actually shot him. Even though the incident, the police officer was in charge at the time, while in the Anthony Griffin's case, Alan Gossett was charged. In the Chavarria-Reyes case, it was a Salvadorian refugee, Jorge Chavarria, and he was a person of color, and he was shot, and he died from the incident. In April 1990, Leslie Presley, at the Thunderdome Bar on Stanley Street, he was shot, another incident, and he was shot and killed by the police. The actual police officers involved admitted in the coroner investigation bringing their own weapons at the police station and counting themselves the shells they had in their guns. A young black guy was I would say, erroneously mistaken from an attempted murder suspect. The police officer involved in that case was the chief of the SWAT, who was following a car for a few hours. And in that case, the black person who was killed, there was the coroner investigation in which there were allegations. Well, it was found, and it was one of the findings of the coroner investigation that at the scene when there was the stakeout, there were racial slurs in the radio communications amongst the police officers. But still, there were no criminal charge with the police officer involved. At the end of the process, there was even the policeman who fired the shot, who said, again, I don't remember pulling the trigger. He was completely white. I mean, like, there was no sanctions whatsoever. In all of these incidents, only the first one I referred to was actually led to a criminal charge against the police officer. Offense: shoplifting at a store. He was chased by some Montreal police, and while he was handcuffed on the ground, according to the police officer, his gun went off. And in that case, Martin Soiseau was a Peruvian, and he was a visible minority.
When the FBI became the FBI in the sense that we're talking about it here, became this political police force at a national level. And where you have a political police force at a national level, let me submit to you, you have a police state. There's no other way to view it. Well, that sense of things, we've had a police state in a formal sense since they created this monstrosity in 1913. But I'm going to argue right here and now that it predates that by a fair sight. I'm going to argue that it actually begins in 1852, the day a former Irish Fenian radical by the name of Alan Pinkerton hits the city of Chicago and decides he's going to establish a detective agency. Now, from the inception of the Pinkerton Detective Agency, you have the rudimentary ingredients of what it is we're up against today. Because, believe it or not, Ronald Reagan wasn't the first freak to run around talking about privatizing federal services. The idea of cost-cutting in Republican circles dates back to the Lincoln administration and the Civil War. And you see, the Justice Department was created during that period of time, and the Justice Department was created without much of a budget, without much by way of personnel, and certainly no investigative agency, but it was understood that in order to litigate, to prosecute federal criminals, you needed an investigative component, and so they went to the private sector. They went to the Pinkerton Detective Agency. In the process of doing that, they defined a circumstance that we're still dealing with today. because the Pinkerton Detective Agency was not retained solely by the federal government. It was retained by other private sector entities as well. Now, who do you think those were? I mean, Joe factory worker in the south side of Chicago or some ranch hand out in Kansas? Sharecropper down in Mississippi? No, you're talking about major industrial concerns have the wherewithal to retain the services of an entity like the Pinkertons. And so you got this simultaneity that occurs, this interlock in incipient form at least, that occurs right then and there, where you've got the investigative apparatus and ultimately the enforcement apparatus of the federal government and of industry lodged in exactly the same entity. And the fact that the FBI today serves the interests of capital while nominally, at least, enforcing federal law at your expense should come as no surprise. You find the basic arrangement of ingredients right then and there in the mid-1860s. You also find the basis of many of the techniques that the FBI ultimately deploys in its counterintelligence programs aimed at the American public. The first of which was to create a fantasy of a subversive threat to the formal structure of power in the United States. Make it up out of whole cloth. All right? That way, you don't have any particular problem in solving the case. Since you invented it, you can solve it. You can take the credit. You can be Superman in terms of sleuthness in the process of doing that. They invented an assassination plot against Abraham Lincoln. There's no evidence anywhere that such a plot existed. Pinkerton announced it, then he intervened. He provided security service to Abraham Lincoln on the way to the inauguration. Guess what? Lincoln got inaugurated, okay, and that was a proof advanced by Pinkerton, and he was amazingly successful in thwarting the plot. As a technique, this becomes embedded in Bureau operations. Let's consider a couple of them. 1970, you have something in New York City called the Panther 21 case. And what was the Panther 21 case about? It was a claim by federal and collaborating New York Red Squad police personnel that the leadership of the Black Panther Party's chapter in New York was plotting to blow up subways, police stations, and the botanical gardens, along with several department stores using aerosol cans and enough black powder to fill a matchbox. Well, Macy's didn't get blown up. The Botanical Gardens is still there. The subways are still running. None of that stuff happened. Therefore, this timely intervention, even though all of the defendants ultimately were acquitted, was averted, they argue, on the basis of their infiltration and manipulation of the Black Panther Party. Then you had the Berrigan conspiracy plot where they were going to kidnap Henry Kissinger, hold him for ransom. The ransom was to be a ceasefire in Vietnam. But in the process, they were going to use demolition equipment approximately on par with that attributed to the Panthers in New York to take out a series of escape tunnels so that they could pin Kissinger down. This is a bunch of pacifists. But then again, this is the Bureau that coined the term in the 1980s, pacifist terrorist. Now put that one together, and we're going to have a quiz at the end and a prize awarded to the person and give me a coherent definition of what the hell a pacifist terrorist might be. But you find those ingredients. Yeah, it's a manufacturing of a total hallucination, spinning it so it sounds kind of scary, no matter how implausible, and then preventing this fiction from occurring and proving, therefore, that you are a barrier against devastation, protecting the well-being of the population, demonizing opponents, thereby gaining license to neutralize them. That's the name of the game.
Screaming off the street and ride, ride, how we ride. is a kick in the ass. Let's beat you blue till you shit in your pants. No move, child, got a big black stick. There's six of us, babe, so suck on my dick and ride, ride, oh, ride. Let's ride, you ride. The left newspapers like who I'm a bit. But the guys at the station, they don't give a shit. Dispatch calls, oh, you're doing something wicked. No, sorry, Jack, we're just giving tickets. Let's ride.
Good, how about you?
Good. You a little lost?
No.
You live around here?
Yeah.
Where you live at, man?
Oh, I don't have to tell you. Am I being stopped for something?
Yeah.
What?
Okay, you don't live around here. You've been at the park. You've been walking around. Looks like you're trying to buy dope. Do you have some ID on you?
No.
Okay. You have no ID on you?
No. Why should I have to? I haven't been arrested for anything.
Well, you've
been charged.
Okay, you're being detained by me. Okay?
Police!
Have no suspect.
Police!
What happened?
The fuck with me?
Ow! Ow! Police brutality!
Santa Cruz police doing their best.
Should we synchronize our watches?
Citations will be issued.
Let's get the stuff we don't have. All right, this one I know you don't have.
Cops prowl at night, looking to steal, looking to rob you blind. Cops prowl at night, looking to steal, looking to steal. You look like you got money, girl, enough for cops to trace, but not enough to hire a lawyer to defend your case. If you try complaining, girl, they shoot you like a thug. Then stick a spare gun in your hand and say you were on drugs. Cops prowl at night, looking for girls, looking for girls to rape. Cops prowl at night, looking for girls, looking for girls. Girl, you got a pretty face and you got a pretty car, and that will make the cops come sniffing anywhere you are. Cops come sniffing at your crotch and sniffing at your purse. The one they will treat badly, and the other they treat worse. Cops prowl at night, hunting the poor to kill. Cops prowl at night, hunting the poor. So if you go out driving, take a transmitting video cam. Keep the receiver hidden well when the cops come to exam. Once they know the whole world watching, they turn so polite. They may be bullies in the dark, but they're not so brave in the light.
Week of September 23rd, 2004. Police in Tracy, California have launched an investigation to determine if five of its officers acted inappropriately when they beat up a 17-year-old this past weekend. Lewis Smith claims police attacked him as he was leaving a house party. His parents filed a formal complaint and participated with other community members in protests outside the police department. Many of the demonstrators felt that Smith was targeted because he is black. Smith says that an officer approached him as he was leaving the party and asked for identification. When he informed the officer that he had none, the officer started speaking with someone else across the street, and Smith went on his way. Then he says four more officers drove up and ordered him to take his hands out of his pockets and remove his backpack. That is when one officer punched him in the chest, and then the other officers wrestled him to the ground, punching and kicking him. Police would not comment on any details of the case. A Springfield, New Jersey police officer has admitted that he faked his own shooting earlier this year. Christopher LaFragola pleaded guilty to official misconduct and will have to resign from his job and pay a $7,500 fine when he is sentenced in November. The officer admitted that he made up a story that he was ambushed to gain the sympathy of a former lover who had ended their relationship abruptly. He had also recently divorced his wife. The Police and Fire Commission in Port Washington, Wisconsin, has voted unanimously to suspend Police Chief Ed Rudolph indefinitely. Rudolph was recently seen tossing an empty 24-ounce beer can from his unmarked police car. He faces possible misconduct charges in the future. 6 months after having to pay out an almost $8 million settlement, the Bethlehem, Pennsylvania Police Department is facing another lawsuit alleging excessive use of force. Officers at a downtown music festival had already arbitrarily pepper-sprayed a large crowd of people when they attacked James Lisicki after giving him conflicting orders about whether to stay or leave. Officers knocked him down, punched and kicked him, repeatedly smashed his head into a sidewalk, and stunned him with an electric prod. When the man's son intervened, he was grabbed by the neck, choked, and kicked by police. Lisicki was charged with disorderly conduct and resisting arrest, but he was later acquitted by a jury at a trial. After surgery, he still suffers medical problems resulting from the attack. The city of Anaheim, California has agreed to pay $500,000 to an unarmed man who was shot by police last year. The settlement is at least the third the city has had to pay resulting from the actions of Officer Scott McManus. The city does not admit to any wrongdoing in any of the settlements. McManus is alleged to have beaten a woman who was a victim of domestic violence and had called the police for assistance, and he is said to have assaulted a man he previously arrested because he suspected he was high on marijuana. So far, he has cost the city almost $600,000 in settlements. A family in Chicago is accusing city police of brutality after their two teenagers were beaten last weekend. Police had accused one of the two brothers of carrying a concealed weapon before arresting and beating him. No weapon was found. When the other brother questioned the officers, he was also beaten. Parents of the boys say that one of them was nearly killed by the officers. Both brothers have been charged with assaulting a police officer. The week after a Hialeah, Florida police officer was arrested on brutality charges, his victim has filed four lawsuits. Officer George Louis Castillo beat a local gardener outside a restaurant where he was working off duty. Castillo was arrested on September 14th and charged with one felony count of aggravated battery and two felony counts of official misconduct. His victim was diagnosed with a brain injury and hospitalized for a week after the incident and continues to suffer related medical problems. The two Evanston, Illinois police officers caught on videotape beating a man in a police station bathroom stall while other officers looked on, pleaded not guilty to various charges stemming from the incident on Tuesday. Officers Gus Horamis and Mike Yorty have been charged with battery, official misconduct, and obstructing justice. Yorty is also facing a perjury charge. Horamis is on paid leave, and Yorty has been fired from the department. They are facing between 1 and 5 years in prison each. A Geneva on the Lake, Ohio counselor expressed his outrage Monday at excessive use of force used by police at an incident at his rental property earlier this month. Students were handcuffed after police responded to a report of a break-in at the address. The students, who were all employed by the counselor, were staying at the property legally and had committed no offense whatsoever. The students were understandably terrified by their ordeal. Local police have been the object of an investigation by council after a number of reports of unethical and intimidating behavior were made by local residents. The counselor who made the complaint Monday also says he has been the target of intimidation at the hands of police since the incident took place. The Ohio County, West Virginia police have been accused of using and condoning the use of excessive force in a lawsuit filed this week. Police videotape captured the incident where Deputy Brian Keller made an arrest on February 5, 2003, after a routine traffic stop. The officer is seen flipping the man into the pavement after he was in handcuffs. The man was rendered unconscious, and the officer is shown calling for an ambulance as the tape ends. The charges against the man, for drinking and driving and resisting arrest, were dropped, but were later refiled after the victim hired a lawyer to pursue the matter in court. An Edmonton, Alberta woman has filed a complaint against police after she and her daughter witnessed police beating a homeless person. Although her complaint was filed weeks ago, it has yet to be received by the proper authorities. The woman and her daughter were stopped at a red light on September 1st when they witnessed three police officers standing over two men who had been forced to the ground. When one of the men raised his head, a police officer stomped his head into the ground and kicked the man, slamming his head into the concrete. The three other officers on the scene were witnessed laughing afterwards. In Toronto this week, a judge threw out a case against a black motorist, finding that he was the victim of racial profiling and fabrication of evidence at the hands of Toronto police. The man, a schoolteacher, is the first case of driving while black successfully pursued in Canadian courts. Although racial profiling by the Toronto police has been extremely well documented in the past, most notably in the Toronto Star's 2002 Race and Crime series, outgoing police chief Julian Fantino is still not acknowledging that there is a problem with racism on the force.
Psychotic, and they beat on children, older men, and everyone in between.
But it's a public building and a public meeting. If we attempt to go down and voice our opposition, we'll be met with riot cops who have tear gas canisters on their rifles. Like, come on, like, have we turned into a terrorist police state?
They're vicious. That's a police state. That's repressing dissent. That's not allowing our voices. We can't let these people beat on children.
They have at least two cops filming in there, so they're harassing and intimidating us from going to hold them accountable. I don't understand why having cameras there is at all a relevant thing other than intimidating and harassing members of our community that have been increasingly intimidated and harassed. So the police are preventing us from going to the body that holds the police accountable.
Because we want abolition of policing. We want a security force that's locally controlled for communities. We don't want a single cop in Vancouver anymore. We want security for people, for women, for marginalized people, for poor people, for sex trade workers, not these assholes who offer more money to catch a garage robber initially than they would to find the serial killer of all these women. Shame on them. They're disreputable. They're discreditable.
There was certainly, in these arrests, there were widespread accounts of police harassment and brutality, and I can certainly attest that there was police brutality present at the at these events. I would say that the police are probably one of the larger and more violent groups which are present on the streets of Vancouver.
Thousands of times a year across the U.S., allegations of police brutality are made. More often than not, these complaints are made by young Black and Latino men who frequently find themselves the target of police who employ the now scrutinized practice of racial profiling. Many of these cases never go to court due to the inaction of prosecutors and judges who commonly take the word of police officers over complainants. On July 6, 2002, 16-year-old African-American Donovan Jackson was handcuffed, thrown on the hood of a car, and punched in the face by white police officer Jeremy Morse in Inglewood, California. But if not for the videotape evidence provided by Mitchell Crooks, the beating most likely would never have made it to the newswire or a courtroom. After the release of the video shot by Mr. Crooks to the news media, a second officer admitted punching Jackson twice before the action was captured on tape. Police assert that Jackson was resisting arrest. After his 15 minutes of fame, videographer Crooks was later arrested by police on what they say were outstanding warrants.
The LAPD has had a long and notorious history for its racism, violence, and brutality.
How can we successfully confront the culture of brutality which exists in many police departments? It seems that government, local, state, and federal governments only react when there is a violent reaction to the violence of police in the form of riots and other outrage on the part of citizens who feel they can't redress their grievances.
Yeah. It's all good, man. We off in the Oakland Hills. Dodging in one time. Check it out.
If you got beef with COPs, throw a Molotov at the PIGs, cause they be harassing you and me. You gotta understand that we still not free. If you got beef with COPs, throw a Molotov at the PIGs, cause they be harassing you and me.
Don't trust the police, no justice, no peace. They got me face down in the middle of the street, pistol with me with the heat. Chicken shit sizzling, trying to serve me with the all you can eat. Murder beef, I'm a young Black heterosexual male. Don't drink, drink, don't smoke, don't sell. That's the real reason why they want me up in jail. They want me to fail, I resist and rebel. See, I give a fuck about the COP, PIGs. I wanna lock and shake them like a PIT, cause they wanna see me DIE. Tommy Cash under my mind. I'm a pre-OG, dark Soviet socialist, bitches, venomous, vocalist, pro-po-po, total, holding it down for Oakland, flows through only spoken, and the shit we doing, we hope it's on just a notice, and get promoted to throw a Molotov music.
We got beef with COP, throw a Molotov at the PIGs, cause they be harassing you and me, you gotta understand that we still not free. If you got beef with COPs, throw a Molotov at the PIGs, cause they be harassing you and me, you gotta understand that we still not free. But I raise rent records, you can calculate. If you ever in your life been awarded a state on the corner with cake, if they send an undercover and you took the bait, huh? Next time I see him with no hesitation, I'm peeling off like stolen registration and leave a daughter smoke. See him the starter for that they've been hunting since my mama fucking water broke. Cause they the henchmen, nah, they the linchmen. Between the rich and poor, so we don't entrench them. Cause they just dispense with the dollars and cents. So where you stand, go be candles, flowers, and
standing sent behind steel gates. Even 50 cent an hour bill rates. Up in Queen, making microchips for Bill Gates. Pelican Bay, t-shirts for the workout. Police station where the slave catchers work out. Let the thunder out no more, taking thunder out. We'll synchronize and give them shit to wonder about. The DA is guilty, he'll not guilty. We need control of the cash and the realty. And get rid of all the motherfucking parasites. Molding weed, burning 420 Fahrenheit. Shaking in their boots when we start to bust. They ain't scared of rap music, they scared of us.
If you got me, you will see your kids. Throw them on a toast like the B.I.G. Cause they be the rats, you and me. You gotta understand that we still not friends. If you got me, you will see your kids. Throw them on a toast like the B.I.G. Cause they be the rats, you and me. You gotta understand that we still not friends.
To be able to tell the police we have a right, and our right must be measured by our actions. If we don't commit a crime, then we should not be arrested for a crime not committed. So the courts depend on evidence. And if the police present certain evidence against you, 90% over 10, the court will believe it is true, whether it is so or not.
No, but it's very, very upsetting to see this. And also the three cops that just jumped this young black male and hitting him, like, I mean, it's absolutely ridiculous. I mean, I can't see it be anything but being a racist attack.
Because when I'm being threatened by the police also, at the same time, three times from the same police officer, I don't feel that if you want to have respect, you have to give respect back. And I think that all those youth that were at that park, that's exactly what they're trying to say. It's not just only respect. It's called human rights.
But I also know what it is like to walk down the streets of a city and be afraid of being arrested for simply walking on the street or handing out a flyer or talking to somebody. And I know what it is like to stand in a peaceful crowd of demonstrators and be attacked by police with sound bombs and rubber bullets and tear gas and pepper spray and batons. I know what it is like to wait at night and wonder which one of your friends is going to come back and who is not going to come back and who is going to end up in the hospital injured and who is going to end up in jail for going and standing where the police told you to stand and told you you'd be safe. And the reason we face a police state is the same reason that the people in Latin America face torture and death squads. And that is that the economic system of global corporate capitalism can only be defended by violence, by violence, by violence, by violence.
I know a place where the animals play year after year. It's the same old way, but along comes a suit. It's Exxon, man. Covers you with shit, it don't give a damn.
Don't talk.
You're out there fighting, fighting for the trees. Help Mother Nature from her knees, but along comes a cop and he's strapping heat. Drags you up to jail, says the judge who me. Don't talk. You're in prison, boy. Don't talk.
Shut up and do what I say. Don't talk.
Don't want the social plea.
Cause the poor go to prison while the rich walk free. Yeah, the poor go to prison while the rich walk free. Don't talk.
Fat cat living off daddy's make. All you ever known was take, 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 yeah. Buy yourself a plane, buy a chauffeur-driven car. Millions of people starving, yet you'll go far.
Don't talk.
Spent your life working for the man. Had enough, gotta take a stand. But along comes a cop and he's trapping heat. Dad, you're out to jail, says the judge will meet.
Don't talk.
You're in prison, boy.
Don't talk.
Shut up and do what I say. Don't talk. Don't want the social plea.
Cause the poor go to prison while the rich walk free. Yeah, the poor go to prison while the rich walk free. I said the poor go to prison while the rich walk free. Don't talk.
Desires. The street becomes a battlefield. You will find police reaction when you're out walking the street, pointing guns in your direction, flashing badges in the heat. You hear the sound of your heart beating. You're doing things that aren't allowed. Confronting cops and law and order. You want it all, you want it now. There's gonna be police reaction. There is trouble on the streets. We don't need police protection. Cops move to a tragic beat. Yeah. Forgot a cop. Roberto Warren and Mel Rose is on percussion here. There's gonna be police reaction. We will be there on the streets. We will be our own protection. We'll lift this out of freedom's beat. Yeah! You will find police reaction when you're out walking the streets. Pointing guns in your direction, flashing badges in the heat. You hear the sound of your heart beating. You're doing things that aren't allowed. Confronting cops and law and order. You want it on, you want it now. Moving to the sound of freedom's beat.
week of September 30th, 2004. Calhoun, Tennessee, Police Chief Christopher Nicholson was charged by state authorities with perjury last Wednesday after having been recently released following his arrest on an outstanding 15-year-old warrant for a break-in. The outstanding warrant was discovered during a security check after the chief requested access to the Homeland Security database. Nicholson is also facing charges over an incident of misconduct while he was working as a police officer in the city of Palmer, Tennessee. The new perjury charge is the result of a false affidavit filed by Nicholson regarding the arrest of Jason James. James was charged with drug possession, but the charges were later dismissed. Chief Nicholson remains on a temporary suspension from his job. An Arvada, Colorado, undercover police officer was arrested and charged with sexual assault and two counts of official misconduct last Thursday. Wheat Ridge Police released Derek Charles Smotherman without bond after their six-week investigation following a complaint made by the woman who was his victim. The attack took place in July, but was not reported until mid-August. The misconduct charges suggest that the attack took place while he was on duty. Smotherman was placed on administrative leave on August 30th. Last week, a Newark, New Jersey police officer admitted in court that he and five other officers extorted thousands of dollars from drug dealers over a two-year period. The confession comes at an awkward time for the Newark Police Department, as they are currently involved in a number of other controversies. State authorities are investigating the involvement of Newark officers in a fatal shooting near a nightclub 2 years ago. They're also investigating a female Newark officer who protected her drug dealer boyfriend. Last Friday, a federal judge in Newark released a man who had been arrested on drug charges, finding that his rights were severely abused by officers when he was arrested in 2002. Also, Essex County prosecutors are now investigating the alleged mistreatment of an alleged drug dealer who was arrested 2 years ago. The Richmond, California City Council has decided in favor of a $150,000 police brutality lawsuit settlement. Several residents sued the city over the actions of police at the Cinco de Mayo Festival in 2002. The lawsuit claimed that the police unleashed an unprovoked melee with officers arresting, pepper spraying, and threatening people with police dogs. Officers trampled a Mexican flag and struck innocent people with batons and flashlights. One officer, Lawrence Robinson, was forced to leave the force over statements he made during an investigation of the incident. A lawyer from Davis, California, plans to sue local police for, he says, illegally detaining him, threatening him with deadly force, providing false police reports, and issuing a false criminal citation, all resulting from a traffic stop. Dean Robert Johansson filed his complaint about the August 16 incident on August 22nd. The police have until October 6th to respond. He claims that after he was pulled over, an officer tried to provoke a physical confrontation with him and threatened him with a baton. Moments later, four squad cars arrived, and officers were captured on videotape surrounding and yelling at Johansson, some with weapons drawn. Johansson is seeking $25,000 in damages. The family of a man who died after a fight with Marietta, Georgia police officers thinks he may have been the victim of police brutality. Paul Johnson was pronounced dead at hospital 45 minutes after he got into a fight with police officers. Emergency medical workers declared Johnson to be okay at the scene of the fight, but were later called to a police station to transport him to hospital. Three officers who were involved with the arrest have been placed on administrative leave. Witnesses to the fight say that officers continued to beat Johnson after he was down on the ground, and that one officer used a chokehold on him after he was in handcuffs. One witness was arrested for obstructing justice when he objected to the beating. The family of Larry Hill, a man who died in police custody in Nashville, Tennessee, filed a lawsuit earlier this month alleging police brutality in the September 2003 incident. Hill died at a local hospital a little more than an hour after his arrest. The suit names the city of Nashville, Howard County, Police Chief Larry Yates, the Howard County Sheriff Butch Morris and Deputy Brian Cogburn, who broke Johnson's hand, Nashville officer Steve Dallas, who pepper-sprayed Johnson, and Obie Laurent, and nine others, claiming they all contributed to Johnson's death. An autopsy found that pepper spray was a likely complicating factor in the death. It started at a Stevie Nicks concert in July 2001 in Rosemont, Illinois. Security at the venue wanted to ask Ronald Keyes if he had been smoking marijuana, and the police were called. Keyes claims the police were rough with him when they took him into the police station. He was left alone in the lockup with one officer, who Keyes says forced him to strip and then sexually assaulted him. Keyes was taken to hospital after the attack, but when he returned to the jail, he says he was handcuffed to a bench and sodomized by another officer, while the officer who had committed the first assault stood by watching and laughing. The man's lawsuit will be heard in federal court starting today. A former boxing champion who was set up by Rankin, Pennsylvania police after he successfully sued them for brutality was acquitted on drug charges by a court on Tuesday. Monty Clay filed a police brutality lawsuit against officers from four different police departments in April 2002 after he was badly beaten by them earlier that year. No police report was ever filed about the incident, and Clay was never charged. Following an undisclosed settlement, Clay became the target of officers from one of the forces who entrapped him into cocaine charges. In the latest legal battle, a judge decided that evidence was not shown to prove that Clay had sold the drugs to an undercover police officer. In Toronto, Ontario's chief coroner has decided to hold an inquest into the police killing of Jeffrey Riotica. Riotica was a 17-year-old boy who was shot three times by Toronto police on May 21st. He died in hospital 3 days later. The decision comes just one day after the province's Special Investigations Unit cleared police of any wrongdoing in the incident. Investigators say the police were justified in using lethal force because the teenager had attacked police with a knife. This conclusion, however, contradicts statements given by witnesses who claimed that Riotica was unarmed at the time he was killed. The boy's family and lawyer hope that the coroner's office will do a better job at revealing the truth of the matter.